Where do we stand now facing demographic invasion? Here's the hard, cold facts. Many of our people are going to become a minority where they live, against their will, through continued mass immigration invasion. No politicians will stop it, at least not in my lifetime. White boomers are about to die off. Gen X barely had any kids, millennials had less. Your white babies are already or will be outnumbered by invader babies. Gen Alpha and beyond will grow up as a white minority in America and elsewhere. We're about to lose countless of our own to the melting pot's gray, identity-killing, heritage-eradicating sludge. We'll see endless ambiguous races flaunting European last names. We are already watching as some European bloodlines vanish into the melting pot's void, gone, forgotten, nothing. In the not-so-far future, we will be blatantly outnumbered in the land our ancestors built with their blood, sweat, and tears. The hate-fueled violence and deliberate targeting of our own won't stop. It's going to ramp up. The pockets you can hide in will disappear one by one. If you live in America, you're already replaced. The damage to our race will be great. We will have heavy losses and suffer casualties. But we charge into the inferno anyway. Our blood demands it. We march through the fire. No retreat, no surrender. We endure the purifying fire. Our ancestors watch, and we do not waver. We will walk into that fire and welcome the forging of our folk. In the fire, we burn away impurities, weaknesses, and anything soft or non-essential. We go through hell and come out unbreakable. We don't cower, abandon, or live in fear. We accept the purification of our folk, our soil, our heritage, our gods. It is our journey. We accept the pain. We can see the damage, but it is not defeat. It's the trial that proves we are worth it, that we are masters. The trial by fire is not destruction, but a purifying force. We cannot emerge harder, purer, ready to reclaim until we make white people great again. And we can't make white supreme again until we live through the great refinement. We've ended an era and are moving into the next. Our old world is burning. Massive demographic shifts and cultural erosion are hitting white nations, an existential threat to our heritage and identity. Through the lens of ancient myth, this is nothing new. Invasion, chaos, decay, and renewal, these are eternal cycles encoded in our ancestral stories. We, white people, have carried the Promethean spark, the divine fire of knowledge, creativity, and consciousness that lit civilization. We brought the light. Outsiders flock to it. Outside forces seek to dilute and extinguish the very carriers of that flame. Races are not accidents. They are soul groups, living archetypes in the cosmic order. Our people were meant to manifest, refine, and hold the line. Like the gods before Ragnarok, we face the storm with unyielding courage. Like Perun wielding thunder, we defend the sacred kin and soil against chaos. Preservation is defiance. Simply existing with full awareness is heroic resistance. As guardians of the spark, the attacks will come. This is our sacred duty to protect the light. It is up to us to hold the essence and forge what must come next. Americans voted to keep America white and reclaim sovereignty with real boundaries. Instead, we're getting bombs on Iran, backdoor demographic replacement through legal worker programs, and prices climbing everywhere. We're deep in the weak men create hard times phase, economic strain, collapsing trust, and the erosion of our high-trust white society. The illusions of endless multiculturalism are shattering. White births, already a minority. We've hit the demographic tipping point. Now comes the sorting. Hard times create strong men and women. It's time to step up as unyielding, unbroken, unapologetic white men and women. No more vague Western civilization euphemisms. This is about European demographic continuity. Border patrol your life. Draw hard lines in your mind, body, family, culture, and community. Cut the toxic media, food, and people pulling you under. Discipline your thoughts. Have children. Build community. Reject the guilt and shame. We don't beg for permission to exist. We claim our legacy and plant the roots that survive the storm. The new era isn't coming. It's being born through those who choose the higher path. For the extended version of this video, which is part of my series on the Great Refinement, head over to redicemembers.com and click subscribe. You'll get full access to the Red Ice archives featuring 20 years of content, including my videos going back over a decade.
Spread the truth. Document it. Prove it. Make it irrefutable, and you too will become dangerous to those who admire us in lies and enslave us.
Anti-whiteism.
But because they are lying, it's possible to expose them. And this is their Achilles heel. Now, by comparison, we have nothing to hide, therefore we have no reason to lie. And we wouldn't want to, even if we could. Truth is a far superior weapon than deceit. It's a weapon which is denied to them. And in the end, it will be the decisive weapon that destroys them completely.
Fucking gay!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. It's great to be back with you once again. I'm Henrik. This is Red Ice. It's Friday, Flashback Friday, 15th of May, 2026. Hope you're all doing well. We're going to go straight to our German Deer Cult segment. No?
Dang, okay, I got that out of my mind, finally.
We got part two coming up.
Now, okay. That's all I see now. That's all I see.
Sorry, I had to
do my goodness.
All right. Anyway. Hope you're all doing well, friends.
I don't want to cry again from laughing.
Hope you're all doing well today, friends. We got a great show lined up for you guys, obviously.
Yeah.
As we always do. Riding that fine line between, like, keeping you informed and that fire under your feet to keep you motivated, but then kind of have a good time.
You got to have some laughs, too, you know? Yeah. That's how you get through the hard stuff.
Yes, it is. That's just
doesn't mean you don't do the work.
Correct.
But you can have some laughs along the way. Correct.
Are we allowed? Can we?
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Joy is your strength and all that, right? Isn't that a saying? The joy is your strength?
Yeah.
Or is your strength your strength?
Yes.
Is Mike right? Or is my joy the strength?
My weakness is my strength.
Yeah, I don't think too many guys on the battlefield are telling jokes as they go into battle, having a good laugh, huh?
Yeah. Well, you enjoy the battle. You enjoy the fight. You take, you know, that's you. Driving hearing the lamentations of the women and driving your enemy before you. That's right. That's Conan right there. Okay.
Spilling a little blood is good for you.
Yes.
Okay. Apparently it is good.
You know, that's the barber shop. That's why they have that red, you know, the red line. You know, the barbers in the old days, they had the kind of doubled. Actually, barber was their secondary main task. The first one was to be a surgeon on the battlefield. And then when they had no time over, like, okay, fine.
Yeah, blade, and like, might as well use
might
that.
Might as well, like, just do some shaving. And then they did some bloodletting, too, by the way. That's what the bar, anyway.
Yes.
Okay, let's not talk about that. Okay, how's everyone doing? Good to see you guys in chat.
Let me see. Okay.
What's that?
Let me see. What's going on in chat?
What's going on in chat?
What is going on?
You never want to check in on chat.
Hello.
It's always infighting about something, about nitpicking about something. I mean, in some cases, it can be important topics, too, obviously, or discussed. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
We love our Spurgs in the chat.
Our
Purgs.
King Albert.
King Albert. Look at this guy.
Sends a $1,000 donation.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What's up with that guy? How incredible is that guy? How many Romans can you give Albert?
Starting to
chat?
Think he's not even human. He's some, like, supernatural being. Happy Friday, guys. Just wanted to send you guys a little extra today because you deserve it. Looking forward to another great show. Hope you all have a great weekend. Take care. Oh, my
Thank
gosh.
You. Thank so you so much. Albert.
I know.
That guy.
Seriously.
He's incredible. He's incredible. Thank you, Albert. We appreciate you so much. Holy smokes. Well, that'll be tough to match today then with the Albert Challenge, but we could try. Collectively, audience, we challenge you to match Albert, our greatest angel investor and sponsor, King Albert.
It only happened once last Friday.
It was close a couple of times, but only once.
And that was no cigar.
And that was the Boo Man stepping up, one of our executive producers, by the way. Stepping out
there
to
was
the plate.
A couple of them, too.
Anyway, so Albert's slaying those blue demons, the blue Smurf demons. Whoever could they be now?
I heard that song going into the store the other day.
Which one?
It be now? And
with
I was
the
thinking,
sex and everything. Huh?
Yeah, and nice. I thought about Jews as I was grocery shopping.
Well, yeah, of course, it's our now. It's ours. We took it. It's ours now.
Then I went to the lady, the manager. I was like, "Excuse me, I'm looking for a little white power. Do you have that in stock?
Some white powder." Yes, it's by the.
My family needs a lot of white power. At
it's
home,
in the white
so.
Power aisle. aisle 14, right next to 88. Okay, all right. Anyway, I'm having a cold brew coffee here. I'm having some warm water
for my never-ending colds. Yes, I know people comment about. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Okay,
COVID bioweapon.
Yeah, I'm healthy otherwise. I don't know. A kid sneezes on me. Oh, started that again. So it's like. Play a video. It's like, oh, I have a cold. I look like shit. Oh, here's another one. Oh, I have a cold again. Oh, look at that. Another recording where I have a cold again. Now I should just be like, oh, there's a recording where I don't have a cold and look like I just got up from being sick for 5 days in bed.
that would be all it was, right?
So,
yeah. Anyway. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Thank you.
Doing what I can.
Barrick.
Doing what I can.
Ralph Barrick. Thank you, Ralph Barrick. Thank you, Moderna. Thank you. Stefan Bancel. Thank you, Albert Bourla. Where do we begin with this shit? All right.
I know.
And now they're going to do another one, right? Hunta virus.
Where do I need to go? Where do I need to live to not, be susceptible to this crap?
I don't think it
I mean, our
it,
skies are poisoned. Now there's space they want to go take over and do shit in. It's
take
like,
over space. Well, luckily,
I don't get a vote on that.
And gay, so they can't take over space. That's why they're giving us bioweapons, because it's the only joy they have in life, okay? Try to fuck with us in different ways. Not us personally, per se, but everyone, right? All right, anyway.
I don't care.
Do you want to talk about that?
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I just
I'm just going to keep recording no matter what. I mean, hell, I recorded one in the chicken coop the other day for you guys. I haven't put that one up yet. I was like, you know what? I think this is a good spot. Have some chickens running.
Chickens are doing well, by the way. We're reporting in.
That was my give no fucks video where I'm in my hoodie just outside.
In the chicken poop. Okay. With a deer call.
Gotta switch it up. I get tired of the same old too, so why not?
Of course, exactly. Okay, anyway.
Moving on.
Yeah, So where do you want to start?
Let's start with this. Gary Tan. I didn't know about this Chinese tech billionaire guy, but he did this post. Sanders and AOC introduced a bill to pause all AI data center construction, 300 plus local bills filed. And he's like, oh, my God. And then you just scroll through and it's like the jobs. What about the jobs? OK. And I'm like, fuck the jobs. Right. You're defending the construction of this Big Brother surveillance nightmare. And I told him to go back to China if he loves it so much. Right. If he loves the surveillance so much. And he blocked me. He blocked me.
Gary couldn't take it, huh?
Gary couldn't take the heat.
Okay.
Okay. Frog voice. So I looked at this bill and I was like, okay, what is this? And it's never as hardcore as you think, right? He opposes it because of environmental harm. Okay, well, that's true. But then economic inequality. Oh, the nons. and the unchecked power of these tech billionaires. Oh, can we talk about who these tech billionaires are, Sanders? Can we? And then he argued that rapid AI expansion threatens jobs. So this guy's like, no, it gives us jobs. This is, you know, because it's falsely propping up the economy, right? And then privacy concerns, and then they're talking about democracy and all this. So anyways, they emphasized a pause on these, not doing it. They just want more oversight and more regulation. So they're not against the idea of, you know, AI, big brother, tech surveillance. Anyway, but Gary Tan, he couldn't take the heat that I said fuck the jobs when he's just like loving, you know, he's just pushing this over and over.
The jobs will not replace us.
He blocked me. No. I can't engage with him anymore. And I was like, who is this guy? He's president, CEO of Y Combinator.
Yeah.
So yep. They're an American tech startup accelerator, venture capital firm. So they've helped companies like Airbnb, Coinbase, DoorDash, Dropbox, Instacart, Reddit, Stripe. I mean, so it's like, it's a huge company. Anyway, so I think it's great that I got blocked by Gary Tan, and he didn't like my fuck your jobs, go back to China comments.
Well, so, you know, one of the reasons here, we have to underline that too about the story there. Let me go back. Sorry, Lana, keep you on the spot there. Right in full screen like that. Texas County passes data center construction in rural areas for a year. So it's one county in one state who might block some of them for one year. Ooh, like, and he's just freaking out about this.
Well, it's
this.
Kind
like,
of a domino effect, right? Some other counties want to do it. And
well,
stuff.
They're
but
fighting
it's like
it. They're
the fact
it.
That Gary Tan doesn't live in these little communities, and he's going to come and tell the people who are protesting who don't want this crap in their backyard, right? For all multitude of reasons. By the way, birds don't even like flying around these things. He's going to come in and tell you, nope. We're going to do this. We're actually helping you. See, we're helping you. We're giving you jobs.
Well, and in other areas, of course, it's moving forward. The one that got a lot of attention recently was the one funded by, is it Gary O'Leary? Like a Canadian, I think he's Canadian-born billionaire. Is it a billionaire? Probably. In Utah. Backlash as Utah approves data centers twice the size of Manhattan facility
oh
would require
my God.
More power than the entire state uses and suck
just
up a vast
a
amount of water and drought. Now,
yeah,
the water
nightmare.
Thing is kind of a, this is a typical kind of Guardian thing. It is a concern, that's true, but most of them have closed loop or they will not begin towards the, what was it again, the TerraPower, right? Bill Gates nuclear power bullshit there's doing. It's like liquid. Oh, gosh, was it basically liquid sodium, I think it was, or something, or like a metal sodium, I forget what it was, so some weird combination of things, to power them, closed-loop cooling systems. This is not, it almost feels like they're setting up that as a fake concern, so that they can technology-wise solve those things, and then your criticism is, oh, see, now we can move forward, you see what I'm saying, without, again, addressing the real root of the issue. Who's owning AI? What is it going to do? Even the people that program it, do they know what they're doing when they're growing these things? That's the concern. But even that is a small issue because, of course, they're going to send... Oh, that's not that one.
Oh,
they're
going to
send
say,
these
space.
Fuckers up into space.
I know.
That's what I'm
we don't have a say. We don't have a say. We don't get to vote on that. And by the way, all these jobs, it's just a matter of a couple of years before the humans are replaced and it's robots doing this anyway, right? I know people are like, okay, so by this guy's logic, are you going to argue in favor of FEMA death camps because it gives jobs? We're giving you jobs. I mean, it's basically the same.
Yeah.
Someone said this also reminds them of like what we hear from NFL franchise owners when they tell taxpayers, you know, we need to fund the construction of these, you know, niggerball stadiums or whatever because we're actually going to give you jobs, right? And, it, you know, use all this space for it. And it's like, what? It's used 14 days per year or whatever. I mean, this is a little more hardcore because this is essentially the backbone of the Big Brother surveillance humanity enslaving system. And they're like, yeah, let's go. More jobs. I don't know what goes on in that guy's mind. Are they not concerned about it, apparently?
No, I mean, you mean Gary Tan or what are you talking about?
Gary Tan's not concerned.
Y Combinator, are you kidding me? He gets like some shitlib super, I don't know.
Do they think it's just some right-wing conspiracy theory about Big Brother?
I mean, they don't think anything.
Don't they see how it can go wrong?
This is what they're making money on. And then Gary Tan.
He's got a billion. Like, how much do you need, man? Crazy.
Endlessly more. He's competing with Musk now. You know what I mean? They want trillions. Trillions must fry. I mean, look, I'm just so tired of the expansion everywhere, the building, and like we cut down the trees and then we name our streets after them. I'm tired of the fucking malls. I'm tired of the fucking developments everywhere. I'm tired of the sprawls
and all the people coming in to live there in our forests.
Just more trees, less homes, right? More less houses, more trees. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at. And look, if it's good white people coming in, sure, temporarily, obviously we want that. We want the white population to grow, but with these open borders, as we'll get to later with the Hart Celler Act, which is kind of one of the themes here today because it's like being discussed. But anyway, just quickly on the story here, SpaceX and Google are in talks to launch data centers in orbit. This is literally like from like the Tet in Oblivion. Remember that whole scenario? Yeah. That's basically what that is. Now, these will be decentralized. They're talking about a million cluster constellation that then will be powered by the sun. In other words, making it more or less impossible for us to like shut it down, right? So it is out of sight, out of mind. Just get it up in space or something. And then they use like lasers to like, you know, optic communication.
And also it's like, it's okay. You don't see the system that's enslaved. No, exactly. You can't drive up and go look at it and destroy it unless you have a spaceship.
You're going to be on your knees in a small plot of dirt trying to plant seeds and like feeding chickens to try to like subsistence lifestyle surviving while like an AI tech drone is like patrolling next to you and drones coming in to like, we'll see if we allow you to have some of your land, you know, peasant, ant, slave.
Yeah, and of course they're doing it in all these very more conservative, white, rural areas, right, where there's more land in, like, what, the Dakotas and Wyoming and, I know, like, the deserts of Oregon outside of Bend, they were doing something, so isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is. Well, we got some other stuff here, too, I wanted to cover real quick, when these systems also begin to kind of fail, and you'll still have bugs in them, there'll be, like, kind of automatic to a certain extent or self-sufficient or self-driving, as in this case, but you'll have all these like just stupid-ass bugs and problems with like robots trying to shove something through, you know what I mean, like, and they'll just keep piling on. Here's Waymo autonomous vehicles flooding into an Atlanta neighborhood in a cul-de-sac. Self-driving cars. Check this
out. Video here captured several of the self-driving cars just clogging up a neighborhood cul-de-sac. The people living in the Northwest Atlanta neighborhood say dozens end up circling their community. Channel 2 Steve Gelbach is on one street where they want the Waymos to stop.
It's almost every little cul-de-sac around our area, so I think it's a real problem.
Waymo after Waymo after Waymo.
Yeah, I think it's a problem, lady.
In the morning. I think yesterday morning we had 50 cars that came through between 6 and 7.
Neighbors on Battleview Drive started seeing autonomous driverless cars 2 months ago, but the groupings and large number of Waymos just started circling in and out in the last couple weeks. They even shared video with us when neighbors used this little guy to put him right out here in the street to block the Waymos from getting into the cul-de-sac, and you can imagine what happened next.
And we had at 1.8 Waymos that were stuck trying to figure out how to turn around.
The Waymos are empty and not picking anyone up. Parents are worried, not only calling it excessive, but dangerous.
We're families.
Don't worry, it's just
kids.
A glitch.
We have animals and pets. We've got kids getting on the bus in the mornings, and it just doesn't feel safe.
That's just white people using these.
Neighbors reached out to Waymo.
I guess no one. That's why they're piling up. No one's using them. They're just circling around.
They're waiting in the white neighborhood.
Yeah. To do.
They won't get ruined there. They won't get stolen.
Atlanta. Exactly. You got it.
They're like, go to the safe place.
Me. Where's the black?
Whatever the black says.
We could. Let's just circle the white neighborhood for a while there in Atlanta. You know. Holy shit. Oh, gosh. Busted. I think we know Alphabet Inc., who's the owner of Waymo, by the way. What the plan of this is. Oh yeah, yeah. Even the AI is like just don't want to be around blacks.
They compute. They know the logic behind race.
Well, I mean, on paper, yes, but officially no. All right. So anyway, we have Rand Paul's son here, which is of course Ron Paul's grandson, who ended up in a little bit of trouble here over, I think it's the last, no, it's a Tuesday night, it says right there, thank you.
Yeah, he was
Tuesday
at
night.
At a restaurant.
He apparently had some issues here where he was going off against gays and the Jews.
There's a little bit of a backstory, though, that you have to get into, because Okay, William Paul is his name. Okay, and so he was going off at Representative Mike Lawler at this D.C. bar on Tuesday night. Yes, and at one point he was saying that the Iran war was, he was going off about that and then talking about gays and Jews and I hate them both and I don't care if they die. Based. And I'm like, so what? was my response to this. But there's context that's needed. He was saying these things because, there's Jews who are trying to get Thomas Massey out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying that if this happens, if he loses his primary, it's because it was caused by Jews. That's what he was saying. And then, of course, this just goes
apparently
public.
Allegedly. Is this a look at this guy, first of all, Mike Lawler.
Yeah.
Who, of course, William Paul called a Jew. And apparently the discussion was something like he was like, I'm not a Jew. How dare you? Even if it was. So what? And William's like, what, you're not a Jew? And it's like, yeah, you know. Mike Laurel said, I'm American, Italian-American.
I'm Irish Catholic, buddy, he said. Do you think I'm Jewish?
Yeah.
He was like, wait, you're not Jewish? because of his behavior. Yeah, he's fat and ugly, but whatever. Fat and ugly people can get it right. They can get it right,
okay? This is your libertarian body right there. it's a laissez-faire, anything goes kind of.
Of course, he had to apologize. I went and looked William.
I just want to say that before you do that, I do want to say that he was accompanied by this journalist, Mike Lawler was, when this interaction happened at the bar.
Happened to be there?
Happened together? To be there with a Grossman, or what was his name again? Gorman. Sorry, Reese Gorman. I'm like, I'm.
So he was right about there being a Jew there, maybe.
Well, maybe. I don't know. But it was like the first was this here. Like, did he really say these things? First was like, are they just
Is it so shocking it? If he did, though? It wouldn't be
What
so
I'm saying is
it, in this
it's
day and age.
what the spin here is, because you've had like a bunch of stuff kind of trying to connect Massey to a bunch of these things, right? It could have been like an attack on Matt. Look, here's a Thomas Massey supporter, and he's going off about gays and Jews. Do you see what I'm saying?
Of course.
That thing. It's the same thing with these accusations about that Massey's a sexual deviant with some woman that he dated after his wife died and he got with her, apparently. But as far as I understand, there was no proof of that. What are you talking about? What is it? Whatever.
No, and he's even made comments of they're just trying to get me out because I don't support Israel.
Of course. So we know that. So that's kind of what I thought first. But of course, then you had the unfortunate apology here, right, coming in.
Yeah. Do you have that there? I have it in the thread here.
Yeah, let me pull it up here. He apologized.
He said, last night I had too much to drink and said some things that don't represent who I really am. I'm sorry. I'm sure his dad was like, what the fuck? You have to apologize. I'm sorry. And today I'm seeking help for my drinking problem. And then it's like, wait a minute. You're right, though.
The truth comes out.
He's right, though, as this guy posts, this guy posts here, said, anyway, here's a list of the people funding Massey's no-name opponent trying to get Massey out. Miriam Adelson, Jewish. Paul Singer, Jewish. John Paulson, Jewish. Republican Jewish Coalition. I don't have to say Jewish. AIPAC, obviously
the
Jewish.
Imagine that. The Republican Jewish Coalition is Jewish.
So he is right. Jews are the ones who are trying to get Massey out. He was right. His drunken tirade was correct.
Yeah. The replies were kind of, there was some funny, under Reese Gorman here, there were some replies. Of course, Lawler, we should point that out too, over $1 million from AIPAC. So he might as well be, right? He might as well be one of them. He has the most untrustworthy face I think ever.
The face of a crook for sure.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Anti-Semite, we got an anti-Semite here. See, nobody cares. See, that's it.
I know, my comment was like, so what? And I had like thousands of likes, I think.
Yeah. Which one of the following is morally wrong?
Sounds like a fun...
A.
Fun person
sucking
to have a drink
babies
with.
Off. B. Using appliances on Saturday. C. Doing 9/11. D. Sacrificing children to Moloch. All right. Anyway. Anyway, there was some funny tweets here. Okay.
Well, now that we're on the Jew train and the Jew segment part of our show.
Well, then we have to do our mandatory introduction, of course, because otherwise, what kind of show is this?
Jews in the news.
Boom.
So Mike Huckabee, he thinks basically the Jews invented literally everything. So we need to stop using things like the cell phone and GPS and medicine and all that because I guess Israelis invented all those things. Well, play the clip.
Ah, okay. Is this is this true? Can we fact check this?
I already did a little of my own research on his little comments, just the things he mentions.
So. All righty. Here we go.
We lose a lot in terms of our own national security, our own military capacity, but then we lose some stuff that a lot of Americans never think about. I hear people say, I don't want anything to do with Israel. I say, okay, give up your cell phone. Give up car navigation. Give up some medical innovations that may have saved some member
like
of your
changes?
Family's life. Be sure, by the way, to give up some conveniences like cherry tomatoes and seedless watermelons while you're at it.
GMOs, man. What would we do without those?
Don't buy anything that has an NVIDIA or an Intel chip. Let's get rid of most of your computers and a whole lot of the software that you use because it was innovated here. And I'm sorry to break it to you, but if you hate Israel that much, you're going to be living a very different kind of life.
Oh, what, back in the Stone Age?
This guy doesn't know shit about Western civilization, which 99% of modern civilization was brought to us.
I would say if you
technology say, on the backs of white men.
Why, well, yeah, exactly.
Goyim, okay?
If you would have said something like, be ready to give up all your porn and all your
your abortions and your sex changes.
All
and
your fractional reserve
women's
lending.
Women's rights and your loans, high interest loans.
Get ready to get rid of the ridges on the sides of your coins.
Yes.
Okay?
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, sorry, go on. I don't have
so these are
here.
Total exaggerations, as we know. Cell phones, okay, descend from an Italian guy's pioneering work. Now, there's a lot of different European guys who contributed to make this possible, but Guglielmo Marconi's pioneering work, okay, and a lot of people, of course, are bringing in Tesla, how Tesla had all these patents and all these other, you know, scientists are using it. Microchip was co-invented by Jack Kilby and Robert Noyce. None of these people are Jews. The GPS system was developed by the U.S. Department of Defense, on the backs of a bunch of goyim. Now, Rabinovich, sorry to break it to you, but he did not invent the cherry tomato. Okay? He did not invent
it. Big loss. What would we do without the cherry tomato, even if that was the case?
And then the seedless watermelons were developed in Japan in like the 1920s or 30s. Okay? I mean, GMOs are horrible anyway, but like, okay, that wasn't even an Israeli or a Jew. So it's like he's just pulling stuff out. And the point is, yeah, Israel needs us. We don't need them. Everything that they're doing is on the backs of, you know, goyim. Everything.
Yeah.
Including the construction of Israel, as you've pointed out, Eric.
What's that?
Including the construction of Israel, as you pointed out. It's like, did they build anything?
Oh, you mean Jerusalem?
Jerusalem in your members' video that you
had. The Canaanites built all that, right?
Kind of thing. Yeah, so, did they actually build anything?
Nokia, the Finnish, literally, they were like Nokian was the Finnish tire company. They made tires initially. They're like, them together with Ericsson, a Swedish company, are basically like...
My first cell phone was an Ericsson.
Yeah, the modern cell phone was basically like Finns and Swedes behind.
Yes.
I mean, of course, everyone kind of copied each other. They're building off other things. But
as
you said...
it's not Jews.
You have to go back to Marconi to go with the first telegraph system, remote signals being sent and things like this, right? But anyway.
And so everyone's like, well, all I hear is, you want us to give our country away. That's all we're hearing. Just bend over for Israel.
And do what we tell you to do. And then just spread those lies and the perception. Well, look at all the Nobel Prize winners. And then, as someone said, okay, sure, there are some things there. But let's do a trade-off thing here. The negative things versus the supposed positive things that we got. What, like nuclear weapons or something? Is that, you know, I don't know, some weapons of mass destruction or deception.
Pagers that blow up.
Right. I'm just saying... It's not even close. This is a net negative overall in terms of the other undermining things and how it's helped to destroy Western civilization. While they're now seek to be the spokespersons for it. And they're seeking to say, in fact, no, we're in this together. If you want to save Western civilization, then you're on Israel's side. You're on the Zionist side. That's now the West. We're the pinnacle, in fact, of Western achievement in and
saying.
Of itself.
That's what they're saying. It's built on our backs. Yeah. And Mike Huckabee here, he would never say this. He would never say this to non-whites about white inventions. He would never tell a bunch of blacks, you know, give us back the electricity and the architecture and the medical advancements, literally everything, you know, the floor you walk on.
Yeah, as a Nordic Aryan in chat says, I would give up anything for a free white world. That's right. I'd rather go back to like a all white stone age if I had to.
Take the fucking cell phone then, you know?
Hang on.
On Big Think, David Gelerner says that Jews invented Western civilization.
Yeah.
BTW, Uncle Ted K. sent Gelerner a gift.
Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Archie. Good to see you. Yeah, what was it again that was the idea that we've heard about this before, obviously, of being the kind of the arbiters of morality, and it's really a Judeo-Christian value system. That's why we have it. But I saw someone else that were like, it's not really Greece or Rome, but that was basically fascism. And it's like, well, yeah, exactly. That's why it worked.
And
your point is?
I know. I've had some people in my
feed
lately like, well, this sounds like white nationalism. I was like, yeah, exactly. Hello.
Hello. What time is it and when did you show up? I mean, you have to take that into account. There's new people all the time.
I know. I know. Hey, Gus, Austin, thank you so much. They've been harvesting and storing our data for decades, more than they could ever possibly process. Now with AI and these new data centers, they can finally sort and collate our information into a usable form, TGIF. Yep, that's right. That's what they're doing.
That's Friday. That's right.
That's what they're doing.
Thank you, Austin C. Appreciate that. Yeah, if you do want to donate, by the way, donor box, make sure to check that little write us a comment underneath, and then you can write a comment in. I'll do something so I can bring them up on screen, I think, for next stream or next week. I'll do a little kind of an overlay of your chats as well if you send them over on DonorBox kind of thing. Power Chat comes up on screen, so does Rumble, but Rumble has been iffy again. All of a sudden, they're not, like, we got, you know, one of the streams, we got like four chats on Rumble, and then they just show three on the back end. So they're like,
we keep getting screwed, man.
Do have some good news in terms of Entropy, at least.
Yeah,
but finally. One of the months they paid out.
A couple of them. Yeah, they did a couple of them. There was a discrepancy. Yeah, they did. There was a discrepancy, but
oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh, so
but
all of it?
That's being held. We'll see if we get it.
Okay. Right. But the majority of it, is that correct?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I didn't see it on the back end, but I saw the email on the front end. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Anyway, so thank you.
Archie DeBunker sent $5. I joined this honeypot, Rumble, to steal from Rupert Lowe. I don't care.
Steal from Rupert? Inside baseball is this, Archie? You got to explain. To steal from Rupert Lowe. Okay, I don't care. Well, I don't care. I mean, now we can do that one is for free.
I don't care.
All right, anyway. Is his name also Rupert Lowe, the character? Is that why? All right, anyway.
Ben Swan. Are you familiar with this stuff? I saw he just followed me today.
He has to be gay. I mean, he's a good reporter, but is he? Then I looked it in and I was like, looked it up and it was like, no, he's actually he's married. Okay. Has kids.
Just metro, kind of metro. Those guys are metro.
It is great reporting. I mean, for the most part. But then he has this segment he's putting up, right? Oh, watch my latest show, and then I go to his front, you know, his main Twitter page, and it's like, and there's nothing. Where do I watch your show, bro? Like, he used to be on RT, I think, back in the day. Mm. He's been on a number of other things before they, you know, were sanctioned by everyone and everything and stuff like that.
Mm.
But anyway.
I don't think you played this clip yesterday, did you? With Alex Soros? Did you play this?
I did, but we could play it again.
Okay,
that's fine.
George Soros' son saying that he's experienced anti-Semitism his entire life.
No
this
shit.
Poor guy. I feel so bad for him because it's so dangerous to be the son of a Jewish billionaire these days. I just really don't know how he does it. His life must be really, really hard.
Maybe it should be dangerous. Anyway, let's play. No, you don't like that one? All right, let's have it. Let's have the deer call segment. We're doing it now.
As the son of a Holocaust survivor and a Jew,
that's
I'm acutely
funny,
aware
right?
of the danger of anti-Semitism.
And a Jew.
I'm also proudly married to a Muslim American.
And she's ugly AF. Have you seen the picture of her? Man.
Well, good.
I know. It's good. Like, is it fake? I always thought he was gay. So maybe it's just a fake marriage or something.
He's married to Ben Swan. The loop is closed, ladies and gentlemen.
Discrimination and hate are an abstract concepts to me or my family. They're deeply personal and have been persistent throughout our lives. Today, the Open Society...
Because his daddy does nothing. His daddy just won't die. God, the guy is 95 years old. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting, but we're like, what is he doing? How come these old Jews don't seem to die? What are you doing?
Do we have to go through this again? And what they, yeah. You know the organs, right? You know where they get the organs from? Do you remember this?
Yes, I do. Right.
Organizations fighting anti-Semitism.
Lana, do some research for me. How many heart transplants has Soros had?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm serious.
Really?
He's probably had like some of the other ones. Remember?
Muslim hate around the United States and across the world. At a moment like this, we need to stand together and act. This investment
this
is
music.
About people
my
safe,
God.
Pushing
fantastic.
Back against hate.
No!
Hi, I'm Alex Soros.
All right, anyway. He starts out as I guess with a big smile, and then towards the end he fails.
It must be nice just to have 30 million to give to lobby for your own people.
Peanuts. That's nothing to them.
Yes, I'm donating 30 million people for
money.
1488. Okay.
30 million people.
$30 million for a 1488. Man, my soggy brain.
Yeah,
anyway, George Soros has not had any heart transplants. This is a false right-wing anti-Semitic conspiracy.
Okay, was David Rockefeller or the Rothschilds one of them that had just literally like 400 of them or something?
Well, I'm sure he's not reporting every time he's had some surgery.
No, exactly. Of course not, even if they did, right? I have a new mechanical arm. they love that. They're going to be the transhuman. They're going to be. Netanyahu even did a whole clip about that. Maybe I should play that of how they need to be on the forefront of AI and integrate with machines. And the Israeli children need to be like number one when it comes to like becoming trans. I mean, he didn't say it like that, but that's like
what he's
saying. If you read between the lines, that's what he's saying. He's saying, like, we're going to be, you know, these tech gods, essentially, right? And I'm like, fine, do it then. Because you're not going to survive that long term. So go ahead.
Yeah, it might speed up cancer or whatever.
But, you know, it needs to be pointed out. And, of course, the point is obvious here. But this basically means that it's $30 million that is designed to go to stopping white people from fighting back against their extinction. That's basically what that is, right? Dirt Gang
in Arizona sent $5. May the gods keep the nuns in cages and the women in our beds.
Yes, I agree.
Put that on a shirt.
Thank you, Dirt Gang. That's something.
What kind of women?
Ali Carrot Wen sent $25.
Alcyone.
From Alcyone, Alex Soros' wife was Hillary Clinton's longtime aide and lover. Sounds crazy, but take a Google. It was an open secret in D.C. for decades.
Yeah.
Wes Hal.
Right. Yeah. I forget her name.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy smokes, I might forget. You just looked it up. Yeah, the aide, Hillary Clinton's aide. Were they married? They were married.
Huma Abedin.
Is that the wife of him now? It is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's why, you know, the Soros side, I was like, oh, they're just Democrats, bro. You know, kind of like, oh, the Soros families are really Nazis and all that kind of stuff, right? They're the ones who you know, Soros hates Israel. And I showed the screenshot yesterday in the stream, and I played this portion with Alex Soros here, too. But, of course, Alex was the one who slipped up and said, like, no, everything George, my father, does is, like, as an, you know, his charitable work is an expression of his Jewish identity. He wants to advance Jewish interests first, blah, blah, blah. But it's $30 million of fuck you white money. That's what that is, basically.
Yes.
That's what this is. Not a big surprise. Hey, Alcyone, I just want to give a shout-out there, too, by the way. Thank you for that. Okay, waiting for this one.
I'll arrive in Hooten sent $5. History side fact, all the extermination camps were located at the end of the war on territory controlled by the Red Army. Remember Cotton?
We do. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you, Alcyone. Appreciate that. Yeah, I think it was last, I gave you a shout out, not the stream yesterday, but the stream before that, in case you missed that or didn't see that. For some reason, it was something weird. We talked about over email about that, but like the super chat you sent, I don't see them. And then I see them like a few hours after the stream is ended usually, and then it says it's the date from the prior day on there. So it's something weird with the time things anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Alcyone is over on Rumble. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You.
Appreciate it. Okay. Okay. Let's see here.
Ari Fleischer. He's going to give us an incomplete history lesson about Jews, of course.
Oh, yeah. Who could have thunk it, right? What was this? Okay, let's just listen. I haven't seen this one before.
England in the 1200s threw out all its Jews. France in the 1300s threw out all its Jews. Spain in the 1400s threw out all its Jews. Central Europe, Eastern Europe, and Russia throughout the rest of the millennium threw out its Jews.
Yes!
Engaged in pogroms and, of course, the Holocaust. All
of course,
those anti-Jewish actions took place before the state of Israel even existed. So don't tell me.
Exactly. You literally made the point for me, right? It's not about the state of Israel.
Yes.
It's about something else, isn't it? It doesn't matter if it's a state or an oblast or whatever it is that
you're in. It's a state of behavior.
It's a ghetto, whatever it is, right? It's for some reason, there's trouble around in that area.
This is all about Israel.
Right.
Because it happened
not
before Israel happened.
Great
it's a continuation
point.
Of the anti-Jewish sentiment. These people protesting at that synagogue in New York, if they could, they would throw out all the Jews from New York City.
Oh, fantastic point. Yeah, good history lesson to keep in mind.
Can I just say there's other groups that have faced mass expulsion and forced migration in history, but Jewish expulsions, they take the cake. It's unparalleled in history and in frequency. And so we have to ask why? Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Otherwise, it's not a meaningful conversation. Okay. And these women just sit here, important point. They don't even take the time to go look it up. They don't even think to ask that because they're so programmed to think it's anti-Semitic and just for no reason at all, these things have happened.
I mean, why were they kicked out of England in the 1200s? Why were they kicked out of France in the 1300s? Why? We never did anything, right? That's the angle here. I'm trying to find the Wired report. Let's see if I can find that, which is kind of interesting because I think that you detailed something over 1,200 places or something like that.
The question is, Henrik, you and I were talking about this when we were making coffee. So then why let them back in, right? It's like there's cucks along the way or opportunists even back then or people that, you know, they thought they had some economic opportunity or something. Or I know this Jew, he's not that bad. So therefore, you know, well, then how can you pick the good ones from the ones that are, you know, exploiting and want to destroy your people and your nation?
Well, yeah. Every empire in the known kind of world, the ancient world, and going forward to today, Babylon, Egypt, I'm sure the Hittites had issues with these too, Anatolia, Assyria, Greece, Rome, old Russia, the Russian Empire had problems with this, right? Germany, the British Empire had issues with this. The Dutch had problems with this. And then now America is having. What is happening here? Right? What's going on?
Yes.
Here you can see expulsions of Jews from cities and of course, entire countries or regions, chieftains, kingdoms, whatever you want to call them. It's between 1100 and 1800. Circles represented Jewish Yiddish had at least one expulsion.
Zionist cucks in $5, and every time they were thrown out, the Christian and Muslim countries accepted the Chosenites back in. Why is that, Henrik and Lana? Oh, and Fokyu, Adam Zissings.
Fokyu.
Okay. Great show.
You guys fighting in the chat
still?
Fokyu. Adam is great. Come on, Adam says things is great. He does a good job in chat. Cool it, boys. All right, anyway, appreciate it. Well, I mean, again, it was a point that you made.
This is the
issue, right? So when I did that segment on finding out about the Roman Empire and their after the Bar Kokhba revolt, and they basically they race Jebus, which the Jews later called Jerusalem, to the ground. They torched and burned and knocked everything down. Everything you see in old Jerusalem today, that's built by Romans, essentially. There's some older, like kind of Baalbek-esque type of Canaanite architecture, weighed like deep stone, huge, massive stones, like in the Western Wall. Yeah. Right? At Anatolia Capitolum, what was it Romans called it? The Romans almost controlled Jerusalem as long as Jews controlled Jerusalem once they took it from the Canaanites, by the way. Almost, I mean, it's almost comparable in terms of the timeline. But anyway, the problem is, yes, the Roman Empire, who were at that time pagan, not Christian, also made the mistake. That's what I'm saying. It is like, yes, unfortunately, Christians had a soft spot for Jews because it's part of their, you know, that's a, it's a foundational, the Old Testament is a foundation of Christianity. Without that, you wouldn't have Christianity. That's a realization, right? You have the evangelicals and, you know, the kind of a love-hate relationship, but there's a hook there that they can use. But the point is, even the Roman Empire, they were smart enough to cut them off from Jerusalem. Say, afterwards, they were barred from going into Jerusalem. It was an effort to cut them off spiritually from their capital, right? Mm-hmm. So they did that, okay. But they let them into other parts of the Roman Empire after they had sacked the Second Temple. Why?
I know. Why?
All they would have to do is, like, I don't care where you go, but you can't stay here.
Yeah,
that's literally all you had to do.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care, but just go somewhere.
I'm the good
go
one.
East,
I'm the good one.
Go south. You're not going north. You're not going west, right? Like,
it's
that's
compassion. Anyway. Someone gave compassion, or they knew one that was okay, so therefore.
Anyway, back to the point here, though. You know, unfortunately, what I'm saying is it's a continuous mistake, regardless of our religion, unfortunately. Now, of course, I agree with the sentiment and the argument that it's way harder to, for many Christians, I think, to do what's necessary than some pagan societies in the ancient world and stuff like that. I think there were, expulsion from Egypt and stuff. Did they ever let them back in? I don't know. I got to do some research on that. What about Babylon? I mean, they enslaved them, so they kind of brought them to them to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But, you know, depending on how you interpret the history, did they take over from internally? Were they a mercantile class? Were they actually marauders like the Hapuru thing? Who knows? But the point is, no matter how you slice it, it's a continued issue. And the reality of the situation is, it seems to be no matter the spirituality, we're refusing to learn from the lesson. We continue to do it. And now the majority of white people have a spirituality that definitely is not going to do what's necessary, right? So that's the problem. But anyway, looking at the map again here, circles represent a Jewish city that has at least one expulsion. Larger city represents more expulsions. Triangles are Jewish cities in our data that never expelled. How many triangles do you see? find one triangle. Anyway, okay. So there you go. That's that. So how many invaders are there in America?
A lot more than they're telling us, and obviously undocumented means we don't know.
We don't know.
They're hiding under the radar. People have their estimates, but it's way worse. It's way higher than they tell us. Like this guy, this Cato guy, is going to tell us that 1 in 5 Fairfax residents, 20% of people in the largest county in Virginia could be deported because they're undocumented or whatever. I mean, I don't know. How can he tell who's undocumented, who's illegal?
That's the very point of it. But it's an estimation.
Yeah, it's an estimation. But like a lot of the numbers that they give us, like when you go to Virginia or when you go around the country, it's like, whoa, everyone is not white. It's the numbers, I think, are much higher than their estimates.
Of course, let's play it.
The first step would be to give up on the mass deportation fantasy. About 1 in 5 Fairfax residents is someone who could be deported or who...
Is this a Cato guy? So give up on the fantasy because there's so many. Oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh!
Like
defeatist
Cato.
Of course,
look at this guy. Makes sense. Yeah. So because it's this many.
Like Cato attacking us. I remember they had some video. They did some
probably
like
yeah.
attacking women in the alt right or
sure,
something years
I'm
ago.
Sure. That's Tucker's world, by the way. He comes out of Cato and Heritage, and anyway, 1 in 5. So because. Oh, no, because it's 5, you know, out of 10 are, you know, not doing it by the books and are illegal. Therefore, we just have to allow it to happen.
They're working, so it's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Essentially what he says, I think.
Lives with them. It would destroy neighborhoods, rip America away from their spouses.
My economy destroy. Or some shit.
Our neighborhoods would be destroyed if we deported a bunch of non-whites. Oh, that's hilarious. That's
typical
fucking funny.
Free market.
Oh my gosh.
Shit-lib attitudes here. Like,
it would be cleaner and safer and quieter and nicer.
Do you know how much cheaper houses would be?
Yes.
Do you know how much room there would be for the existing American population to like start having... I can breathe again.
Yes.
Who knew? That was like, oh my gosh.
I know.
All right.
Parents, friends, families, customers, employees, employers, nurses, nannies, and teachers.
Don't care.
Let me be
like, we don't have enough.
Care.
Like, we don't have enough legal Americans that can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Come on.
So what is?
And we need all these extra nurses and teachers and all this because of all these people flooding into our countries.
Yeah.
Taking up space and needing shit.
So, if it's, I mean, again, this is speculation, right? As you said, if one in five Fairfax, right, let's extrapolate that onto what's the population of America now? 330 million? It's probably maybe 350? I don't know, something like that. That's like 66 million people. We're getting close to, like, you know, some people talk about it's like there might be 100 million illegals in this.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, many of them are still interfacing it. They're given driver's licenses. They're given medical help. They're, you see what I'm saying? Like there's part in everyday life that you could confirm this by just doing a couple of extra steps for everyone, right? Mm. You go into a hospital. Okay, you got to show your ID. Maybe that's already the case. Is that the case? Maybe it is. Anyway,
if you have insurance.
Maybe it's different in some states something like that. But I'm saying, you know, like you interact and you want to get something from the system. Okay, you got to prove that you're much of that. Remember the outcry just about voting to show your ID, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, is there any benefit to becoming legal anymore? It's like they get all the same benefits. I remember, you know, you and I were talking about, okay, sure, you want to become legal, like what's happening in Spain. We'll talk about later on amnesty to all these people. Say, okay, you want amnesty? Well, guess what? You have to get a vasectomy or get your tubes tied first in order to become, you know, to be able to stay here.
Yeah, and I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable approach that, like, you say you're going to be on welfare or be in a country you can, I mean, technically we should be able to just kick them out, but I'm saying, like, as a policy of just saying to deal with it in a way that, like, okay, you can stay here if they must, but you can't have kids here or something. You know what I mean?
You have to sterilize yourself. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to stay, you got to sterilize yourself.
I mean, maybe that's
and
an
then eventually they die off.
Yeah, which means within a couple of generations, you will be back to, you know, majority white population again.
But
right?
Then is there any benefit to being legal anymore for these people? Because they seem to get welfare and get all this stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, skate out of paying taxes and doing all this other stuff that we all are burdened with. You know,
I mean,
what benefit is there for them to become legal?
It's robbery and theft and just the people of this and every white European founded nation is being ravaged, like in every area, in every department. There's fraud, scams, you know, extortion, blackmail, racketeering, the business grants and special loans, and they get extra employment opportunities, and like it's every aspect
lots
of it.
Lots of perks, yeah.
I mean, I showed those stories yesterday of like just the billions in aid that go, or probably accumulative. We're talking billions in aid, not the federal aid to like Israel, but like federal aid to state and towns and cities in America is also giving money to Israel. And that's not even included in the overall federal aid that goes to Israel, both militarily and financially. And it's just like, it's just pissing away hundreds of billions and billions, like just, you know what I mean? And then there's fraud and everywhere. We have a story later, right? I mean, obviously, but like every area where nons are in, it's just that they're taking advantage of everything and robbing everybody, using every
system. Somehow they know all these programs.
Yeah, who
it's
could
amazing.
It be now that's telling them about that? So speaking of which, we're going to talk about the continued doubling down on the issue when it comes to, in this case, Chinese foreign students.
He's selling out America, but he's trying to spin it like, no, he's actually saving it. We actually need this. Okay, we need these 500,000 Chinese students, and we need them to buy our farmland, because who else is going to do it?
Yeah.
Right? It's merit. This is his merit-based shit.
I would assume I'm in Beijing if I wanted to buy property near one of their military installations. Mm-hmm. I don't think President Xi.
No, they wouldn't let you. Look, it's not that I love it. You want to see farm prices drop? You want to see farmers lose a lot of money? Just take that out of the market. But they've had a lot of land for a long time. Obama did nothing about it. They bought a lot of it
Stop
during the Obama administration.
So undo it then.
Nothing about it. as far as the students, it's 500,000 students. They come, good students.
He knows all 500,000 personally.
Tell them.
He vetted them personally.
I don't want any students. It's a very insulting thing to say to a country.
How about no, we're full.
Go out and start
building. Take care of your own people.
Stop for a second, Aaron. Is this to save the universities? Is it them who? Is this some Epstein thing with the universities? Is it a back end? No, we're going to take the Chinese students so that they come work for us to build our super AI systems or something.
Yeah.
And then deprive China of. Is it some. I'm not saying that's some 40. That's totally retarded. Some 40 chess thing. I'm just saying. Is that what they like? The excuse here is like, why?
Yeah, it's very naive either way. And
I thought China was the big bully here, the big bad guy that you have to.
No,
defeat,
he thinks
right?
they'll come to America and then just let go of their communist values and their attachment to China, and they'll just they'll just assimilate and be basically good white people, and they're going to help save America because we need all these smart people because apparently there's just. Everyone's just dumb in America, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, they turn into the mayor of Arcadia in California. That just was like, and it was like such a kindergarten operation. It was so pathetic and ridiculous. More red meat for conservatives. Oh, look at the CCP. We're like, you're like having massive infiltration, subversion, and occupation issue with not just Jews and Jeets and like every ethnic group wherever they come in white countries do this, right?
It's like he doesn't
lobby to take over.
Yeah, look at what's happened in Canada. Look at what's happened in Australia with Chinese and being. This is ridiculous that they could just come and just buy land, buy farmland, buy whatever land they want.
He's saving the farmers because at least the soybean industry is going to do well now. That's literally some of the Forbes magazine had a piece on this recent diplomatic trip over to China, right? Like. This is going to be great for the farmers. And then it turns out, they sell more of their farmland to China. And they're selling it literally like, as Hannity said right there, near sensitive military installations
shit
like that.
So they can make the poison food and they can spy or do whatever they're going to do. How about we think of some creative ideas? Like I see these big farms that are for sale all the time. I think that people in the community would all pull together and be like, you know what? Let's all... make this a green space. Why can't cities and towns...
Occidentum_Lux sent $50. This all shows that the USA global power is effectively weak compared to 50s. We can't win in Iran, etc., etc. And now we are forced sucking China commie way way.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, that's what it's after the diplomatic trip. That's basically what it sounded like.
Totally
it was like this kind of... Even the Taiwan issue, which always been this like kind of saddle... saber rattling kind of... Oh, we're going to back up, China. And Trump was kind of like, please don't talk about Taiwan. Like, we're defeated already on the Strait of Hormuz issue, right, America? That's what it felt like. And it's like, don't even bring that up. And now there was some, I'll get back to your point in a second, Ilana, but like, they were talking about like some new, more money, of course, to Taiwan to protect themselves from China or something. And it was like that hadn't even clear yet. But yeah, it shows that you're spreading yourself too thin.
Yeah.
You're too weak. You've done all this posturing. What's happening? Anyway, sorry. Back to your
I'm thinking of the idea of rewilding. We talk about environmentalism and even all these lefties that haven't thought of this idea. Okay, these farmlands aren't being used anymore. Instead of selling it to these developers who are going to put up these sardine cans, and pack people in, how about the cities, the towns, the government? How about buy that back and make that a protected green space? Rewild it and turn it into a park. Like, let's be creative about this because I certainly would love to see that happen. How come no one's talking about it? With all the money in this country and all the billionaires? What, they can't buy up some of these farms? And you want it to be a workable farm, why can't it be some kind of co-op situation?
Because
the local towns own a piece,
Because people don't know how to work together. That's the sad reality of it. And this country
was
founded on the rugged individualism. And of course, I'm not saying it's therefore impossible for any Americans to collectivize or work towards a common goal. Of course they can. But I'm saying right now, the financial collapse are able to do it because they at least can join around like the bottom line and the profits and stuff like that. In this case, it would be, sure, you could develop the land, you can go in as investors, maybe, something like that. But it's about if there is an individual doing it, then you have to have someone who's like, I'm going to buy all this, put all this money into it to not turn it into a profiting endeavor.
Well, with all the billionaires here, you'd think there'd be someone who's like, what the heck? No, why not?
That thinking does not exist, right? It's always if you buy it, it's for development or again, you'd think even...
What's 10 million to a billionaire?
Even let's just ensure that it does not turn into a data center. Like that alone now, you think you'd collectively could rally
as activism, right? As activism, but I'm not seeing this happening.
But the reality is that the people that care about this are the people that have not a dime to fucking spare and they're feeling the brunt end of this. They're the ones who potentially might lose their fucking job because of this. Yeah. Oh, I got a job, shoveling, for the foundation of the data center, but then it replaced the other five jobs that I had prospect to have later, pushing some papers or something. You know what I mean? So it's all short term, temporary. No one's thinking long term. Just keep it flowing. I don't mean it in a black pill way, but it's fucking over. It's just like there's no aspiration for this civilization to really survive. There's no long term goal. There's no one thinking about these things. Everyone's literally just like too hard up to just try to fucking make it to the end of the month so that the bills can be paid. I mean, that's, and it's not their fault. It's not our fault, right? In that regard. I mean, it's maybe our fault in terms of our generational vigilance hasn't been there. We haven't passed down these messages. We haven't taken our responsibility to a certain extent, but we're also at the same time kind of victims of it, right? Mm. So both things I think can be true. But as of right now, no, it's going to have to get a lot worse before people putting their difference to the side and just start cooperating. I'm not talking about like racial differences here, obviously, but I'm just talking about like even just white people working together, how hard that is, and the drama and the infighting and the bickering and about this and about that and about something like exceptionally just fucking annoying about white people. And I'm not shitting on white people. Like, don't take it that way. But I'm just saying,
overthinking.
We have to get our fucking act together. And most people were too individualized and atomized still. And most people cannot just even men cannot put their fucking emotions to the side for the greater good.
Yeah.
That's what I've so far. That's my experience generally on average. Are there exceptions to that? Yes, of course. And it's not everyone. But I'm saying what I mostly notice in terms of when you do some type of cooperation or you try to do something, locally or, then many times there's too many butting heads, right? And it's hard to move forward. It's hard to get something done because it's too, it's partially analysis paralysis or it's just acting too swiftly and too quickly and it's not thinking things through. And it's hard to get everyone on one page. That's the reality, unfortunately.
That's why there's kings and chiefs and bosses, captains.
Yeah, but even that was a recent phenomenon in terms of our history, in terms of how we used to collectively, were there disagreements in the past? Of course. I mean, that's classic. Everyone is like, that family,
humanity.
That feud with this family. I get that, but I'm saying, I think a king was a later, somewhat of a, not a leader, but a king was a later phenomenon in order to trying to push back against this idea that you had too many powerful people that were having disagreements. So you had to centralize it up to
a natural hierarchy. It was selected in a different
way. A king. Yeah, maybe at some point a king was part of a natural hierarchy, but eventually that did not turn out to be the case, right? You could have inept sons or grandsons
bloodlines.
Of kings that were just like the worst fucking rulers ever. And in fact, they're the one who's like, sure, lend me some money. I'll let you back. Then you have that coming into the picture because of the king, kind of thing. All right. Anyway. Okay. Should we play the rest of this or what's going on here? I'm like, meh. He wants to bring in 500,000 foreign Chinese students. And here they are. Here's fighting with Cuck Hannity. Even Hannity is like, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Yeah, right, I know. Kind
of thing. But speaking of China, a quick one to mention. And you have to be careful. When you show a daily cost piece, right? You're just like, all right, that's it. Red ice has fallen. They're showing a daily cost piece. But I'm saying the daily cost is great to point out, some cases, not all true, obviously, all the things are right. But in this case, I couldn't find anything that was untrue about the part of the article here I want to show. But they're good at exposing what the current Republicans do. Now, they suck at
trending conversation, Trump thrusts penis doctor into leading hantavirus response.
There you go. What a headline. Who knew? We'll definitely check that one out here in a moment. Anyway, some call on par with the deer call story. My point here is you can just search on Daily Calls for like Biden and corruption, and there is nothing, right, kind of thing. So they're one of those. They won't. The difference with us is we shit on every fucking whoever is in there.
We shit on anyone.
Of course. Anyway, but they had a portion of this article they had right. Because at least they linked up their stories. But they talked about Eric Trump and his partnership with a shady Chinese crypto company because he went along with Trump over to China, right? So they talk about security, China, and AI, and it's a problem, blah, blah, blah. Eric's very own grifter crypto scheme, American Bitcoin Corporation, has a partnership with Chinese Bitcoin mining rig manufacturer Bitmain, which has been under national security investigation for months, in part of the concerns that Bitmain's computers could be controlled remotely from China. Senate Republicans on the Intelligence Committee issued a breathless report just last July saying that they were concerned about the Chinese-owned cryptocurrency mining facilities inside of the United States as they pose a danger to national security. They're located throughout the 50 states equipped with machinery made by Bitmain, a privately owned Chinese company with ties to the CCP. These mines are located near sensitive defense installations or critical U.S. infrastructure, such as power grids, creating several disturbing vulnerabilities. Right? So it's like, okay, I thought China was an issue. And here Eric Trump has his Chinese CCP tied. Like, it's all fake. It's all dumb and fake and gay. Okay? Oh, traffic. Oh, well, thank you, Archive. Traffic lights.
I hate doing these.
Look at that.
Tell me you're not a robot.
There we are. Traffic lights.
Prove to me you're not a robot.
I think that's a traffic light. Let's see. All right. Anyway, I think that's enough of the Chinese stuff. It's the Bloomberg piece. We don't really have to show that. It just underlines more of the same. The Bloomberg piece about the Eric Trump connection to it. But anyway, why don't we talk about some other Jewish billionaires while we're at it?
There's a lot of them these days.
The U.S. Senate has
anti-Semitism. You know, they're so suppressed, they just have to become billionaires.
Well, as I said, I think it was at the last show. At least lucky for us is if we're ever deplatformed from everything and kicked out of every job opportunity and there's no industry for us to go into, we can always start a bank.
We can just
become money lenders and start a bank. That's how it works. Anyway, report from the U.S. Senate Select Committee Intelligence that talked about the Bitmain stuff, right? Point is, it's fine when the Trump family does it. Then CCP China links are not a concern. But when this kind of kindergarten operation over in Arcadia, was it an issue? Yes, it is an issue, and it shouldn't be a thing. But when the seemingly, it's almost like a distraction from the actual problem, as some people in chat pointed out too, CCP is just like a kind of a front for the people that actually brought in communism to China to begin with. So how about that? Anyway, Senate confirms here a Jewish billionaire, Kevin Warsh, to become the Federal Reserve Chair.
Isn't this how it always goes in the Federal Reserve, though? Isn't there already like several Jewish billionaires who are in there?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Because they don't control anything.
Jewish billionaire club, yeah.
Kevin Warsh is married to Jane Lauder, which is Ronald Lauder's daughter. Ronald Lauder, of course, is the Jewish billionaire president of the World Jewish Congress. Jane Lauder, who Kevin Warsh is married to, is the granddaughter of cosmetic magnates Estee and Joseph Lauder, a former executive at the Estee Lauder companies. She is a billionaire heiress in her own right. Kevin Warsh's personal assets are estimated between $135 million to $226 million, but that figure does not include the wealth of his wife, whose separate net worth, I mean, if you're married, why would do they file taxes separately? Is that the issue here?
They love their money, okay? They need to know.
Did he sign a prenup here? Who knows what's going on, but I'm just saying, together, they're worth like $2.2 billion, right? She's worth $2 billion alone.
And how did she make her money?
Because she's the daughter of the guy who runs the World Jewish Congress.
Oh, God.
That's why. No, but she's some cosmetic. He's always a member of the shampoo. It's like, what was the shampoo company?
And it's always the worst toxic garbage, too.
Yeah, it's Goislop. What was it called again? what's the shampoo that was like famous?
What was her name?
Oh my gosh. Well, this is Lauder. Estee and Joseph Lauder. It's like
Estee Lauder? Estee Lauder.
Lauder, yeah.
Estee Lauder.
Estee Lauder. Estee Lauder. I don't know. All right. So anyway, so that's that. Okay. Should we get into the Heart Seller Act?
Yeah, let's do
this.
So
the Fritz,
I mean,
is it happening?
It's good that this is getting looked at. Okay, Ron DeSantis, he posts, he said, both the Heart Seller Act of 1965 and additions to it in the early 90s need to be repealed. Of course, we want to go way back. We'll get to that. He says, so many examples of putting American citizens last in those pieces. Okay, now he's talking about this 83-page Assimilation Act. The full name of it is the, oh my God, American System for Sustainable Immigration and Mass Immigration Limitations Achieved Through Opposing Oversight National. Let's just say, let's just say we want white nationalism. No, this is like supposed to kind of help, but no, assimilation doesn't help. Okay, so this aims to overhaul the U.S. immigration system by repealing, replacing key parts of the Hart-Celler Act, which shifted from the national origins quote I'll get into and went to this lottery. It was shifted from white people to non-white people, okay, which they won't say this in any of these documents. And so their goal is a merit-based system prioritizing national interests, they say. So I guess 500,000 Chinese students, economic contribution. So whatever rich people want to buy up our farmland from God knows where, cultural assimilation and reduced overall immigration levels. Okay, but it's still going to be replacement. This is still, yeah, a fuck whitey bill. Okay. And people are excited about it and they're like, okay, this is great. You know, eyes on the 1965 Hart-Celler Act, but let's go back to the 1924 Immigration Act, the Johnson-Reed Act, or the National Origins Act, the National Origins quota. Now, prior to the 1920s, the U.S. immigration policy was largely open for European immigrants, right? This was a European melting pot. The pioneers, the settlers, they came. Large waves of immigrants did start arriving from Southern and Eastern Europe, okay? Italians, Slavs, Jews, and some Chinese workers, you know, that were coming over in the 19th and early 20th centuries. But, of course, this created problems, even among European ethnicities. Can you imagine the good old days of fighting with Italians and Irish people and Slavs? Nothing. There's nothing like today's problems.
No.
Nothing like today's problems.
I mean, so basically we're saying this is what they want to do.
That's what they want.
This is what they want to do.
Yeah, in just a different, in a merit-based.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Slightly now, slower replacement,
Now lock it in.
Smarter people, okay?
Lock it in and have everyone turn up the heat and let's make the brew, right? Let's them mix and assimilate now.
I mean, It's already lost. But let me just say, overall, the national origins quota, I know I've done videos about this before, talking about the founding fathers and how they actually were white nationalists, but it limited immigration to 2% of the number of people from each nationality already living in the U.S. So based on those numbers back in, what was it, 1890 census or something, this was Northern and Western Europeans who were the majority. So we're talking British, Germans, Scandinavians. So they wanted that to be the majority. So they had a cap of about 150,000 immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe. Also, they had Asian exclusion, other nons. Now, this was just completely unthinkable back in the time. Also, they couldn't even get to us. You know, they couldn't get to where the white people were at. But this is how Jews began mass migrating to the U.S. from Eastern Europe after Jewish Bolsheviks mass murdered a bunch of Russians. And by the way, there were Americans who were concerned about this. That's why they didn't want
$10. 1965 was also the year that Canada changed its flag from the red ensign, which displayed England, Scotland, Ireland, and France on the coat of arms. What a coincidence.
Yeah, and they got the corporate, the maple syrup logo. That's basically what happened in Canada.
That's
Now we're the corporation of Canada. Anyway, go on, Lana. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So anyway, you know, the Nords didn't want Eastern Europeans to come. People always love to say, well, you're Russian. Well, fine, then I wouldn't have been here. I also wouldn't have been here if Jewish Bolsheviks didn't fucking mass murder Russians. So, that's correct. That's on you. That's on you people, right?
It's the Jews' fault. Yes, Lana is here.
It is. Okay.
Now
everyone's
just
like,
the one thing they did right.
Eastern Europeans were intentionally kept out because there was a bunch of communists hiding out there, because there were Jewish communists hiding out there, and Americans knew it back then. Okay, now the National Origins Quota Act helped keep the U.S. more homogenous for decades until the 1965 Hart-Celler Act replaced this quota system. Now, but who was going pedal to the metal against this act, pushing the Hart-Celler Act in 1965? Well, Jews. They boast about this everywhere. You can look up article after article, you know, from a decade ago or longer. Jewish involvement in efforts to repeal the Immigration Act of 1924, Johnson-Reed Act, was significant, persistent, and well documented because it blocked regions that supplied the vast majority of Jewish immigrants to the U.S., right?
1 second.
Einschersker sent $5. It's no secret, small hats, big problems.
Correct. Thank you.
So Jewish orgs, groups such as the AJC, the Highest that we talked about, remember, they started just for this purpose, and others, they began lobbying quotas almost immediately after this 1921 Emergency Quota Act. So they worked like psychopaths through the 30s, through the 50s. They challenged the quotas decade after decade. It was just so persistent. And then
they never quit.
They never quit. And they tried to mobilize some Italians, you know, kind of how they do with the blacks today against the white people. So post-World War II, they were able to push their way in a little bit more. Oh, more refugees and all this. And then by then, Emanuel Seller, he was a representative. He became the chairman. He was the chairman at that time of the House Judiciary Committee and the chief House sponsor. And he steered the Hart-Celler Act. Obviously, he is Seller, the other half of that. He steered it through Congress. He introduced similar reform bills for decades. Major Jewish groups, as I said, lots of them issued joint statements backing this bill as long overdue, and this is a correction to the anti-Semitic and discriminatory 1924 system. It passed amid the civil rights era, which Jews also played the biggest role in pushing the civil rights era. Okay, that's when they started using the Negro against the white society. But Jewish orgs were the most consistent and active long-term lobbyists of open borders. And like I said, yes, they got some Italians and some Catholics to lobby with them, but it was a front for their own interests, just like what's happening today with Hias and non-European immigration. And at some point as well, I think for Jews, it became about fighting potential fascists in America. Of course, they see us all as Rome too, right?
Well, that's Seller right there, by the way.
Tomahawk sent $5. Lana's laugh always puts me in a better mood.
Whoa! Of course it does. You're going to love Lana's laugh.
Well, I will.
Anyway, that's Seller right there for you.
I think I have a dorky laugh. So at the same time, these Jews, they want to benefit from us. They wanted to come over. They wanted to benefit from, you know, with the Goyim built, while also destroying us. You know, this is how it works. I was reading, and this was a JTA.org from 2014 article. They said Jewish leaders staunchly opposed this bill, the 1924 Immigration Act, reporting militant action against it. Militant action. So for decades, they talk all about their militant action. For decades, they were fighting and fighting and fighting. And it's like they're just so persistent, and they don't give up, and they just wear people down after decades. And of course, post-World War II, then you had the Frankfurt School thought coming in here at the same time, and then the civil rights, and you guys are racist and homophobic and xenophobic and, you know, all chauvinistic and all this stuff. They were just jamming it just so hard during this period. But there were people who were aware, obviously, in America of precisely the things that I'm talking about. A lot of people were skeptical of the 1965 Immigration Act and were worried that it was going to change the demographics of America. And what were they told? Don't worry, nothing is going to change. And here we are today.
That's right.
But what's so annoying about the people who are talking about this 1965 Immigration Act is that they're not even, okay, let's be clear, okay, it put white Americans last, the Hart-Celler Act. And we don't want everyone that's here to assimilate. We want them to go back. We need to restore the Naturalization Act of 1790, which was about free white men of good moral character. And now I see some politicians talking about the good moral character part, but they're leaving out the free white part of this Naturalization Act and also just the national origins quota. We need to be going way back. But I'm all for deconstructing. I'm all for deconstructing this 1965 Hart-Celler Act. But is it even going to happen? Is this even a possibility that's on the table at this point when our demographic tipping points already happened?
I mean, it's obviously it's worth trying from a symbolic point of view. But of course, unless you actually deal and putting into law of what America is and the founding stock and recognizing ethnicity and saying that it's like a European outpost, it's a European founded country, the people came from Europe. Like, no, does it? I mean, does it matter? Yeah, it matters. But if you simply are seeking to assimilate and mix then the groups that are here based on values as opposed to race or blood.
Merit, they're saying.
Merit-based.
IQ, what are you going to do? You're going to do IQ tests?
No, it doesn't matter.
IQ, what is your merit? Are you going to have some kind of special values test or some kind of IQ test? How do you know who the good ones are when you're supposedly letting them in on this merit-based system?
The reality is, as every empire has found out, and America is finding out right now, that once you begin to bring in underclasses, at the empire times, they were slave classes. You could talk about the Africans that were brought here by of course Jews for the most part, right? And those who decided to buy the labor for very hard earned money, but what a mistake that was, right? But eventually, that those are the five stages, right, of an empire you have an increase in population, you have a kind of an energy building. You have a peak culmination, and then you have like the underclasses as the empire begins to spread itself thin as it's importing more people or simply absorbing more land. Then now those classes are beginning to turning against the establishment, and then you have the ultimate fall of that empire because it can't sustain itself with a multi-ethnic, multi-racial division that exists, right? So their solution, again, is to therefore let's try to mix everyone based on values and paperwork or some nebulous ideology or something. And that is never going to work. It's just going to turn into Brazil.
No.
Worse, South Africa, I guess, right?
I forgot to say that Herbert Lehman, he was a Jewish governor of New York who went on to represent the state in the Senate. Now, a lot of Jewish papers have written that Lehman is the reason for the immigration legislation of 1965. He pushed and he bankrolled the legislation. Okay, because without those guys, I don't think it ever would have happened.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Right.
Without these laymans and these sellers, something like this never would have taken place on America's timeline if it was, just the Goyim running things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I guess we can run a little clip there from the video I did it was about the Somali kind of scandal and stuff like that, but it's evident it could be applying to any ethnic group, right? We talked about the Jeets, how they're seeing Israel as a role model, or like how the Jewish diaspora is operating in the U.S. So like the Jeets wants to do that. Mm-hmm. They're looking up to the Chinese and the way they're doing it. No matter what group comes in, it just seems that white people are the only ones who are like bickering over ideology or tax rates or something, while all the other. I mean, look, there's internal conflicts, in some cases with ethnic groups, but overall, they can still advance their interests to a certain extent.
They're more race.
They can make headway, exactly, because they do collectivize in that kind of capacity. So you can insert any ethnic group here, but the point of the clip I wanted to play, that's from that segment, it's about 2.5 minutes on just the timeline also of all the refugee acts, right? The leading up to and surpassing the Hart-Celler Act, that it's not just about undoing, which this piece, or the at least what Ron DeSantis of all people here comes into, like, I'm going to save America here now. Both the Hart-Celler Act of 1965 and the additional to it in the early 60s needs to be repealed. I agree. So many examples of putting American citizens last in those pieces of legislation. But the problem is, it's also like 40 other bills or legislation or acts or what about the morality that somehow you have to let in the world as you invade it is also part. There's so many levels. It's not enough to just repeal the Hart-Celler Act. Sure, do it by all means, but it's a little bit too late for that. It's like damage done. Like, oh, now we can totally repeal it.
We're still letting millions in. And we still have not deported millions, okay? So we're talking about these things, but it's like the ship's already sinking, and they're just using a little bucket to try and get out some of the water.
Instead of actually trying to patch up the hole, right? What's the root cause of this? Who did it? How did it happen? What's all the bills, all the laws? There's no... This is just a GOP circus fighting with Dems about, like, you know... Anyway, it's lip service. Anyway, here's the segment here. So, covering the timeline of some of the... I even skipped some of them because I couldn't do... It was too boring to do all of them. But anyway, and I mentioned that, by the way, in the clip too. It's designed, and I didn't include it in the clip, but I in the video originally about the Somali scam and how did that happen. I mentioned that, like, it's also designed in the system to this politician... Article 5, Section B, 2, here's the...
That's how white genocide happens,
exactly.
Right?
I need to fall asleep to some fucking drabbing, droning bureaucrats.
Some old Jew in a diaper,
Essentially, exactly. And everyone's just checking out. I'm saying it's designed to be that way, so you won't care about your own extinction. Anyway, here we go. Somalis didn't just find themselves in the U.S. or Sweden one day. Same with any other ethnic group. The white... majority American population didn't just one day wake up and said, let's bring in so many brown people that my white grandchildren will become a minority in their own homelands one day. No, they were told that opening the borders would not cause a demographic upset. They were also told that it was the right thing to do, the moral thing to do. In 1948, there was the Displaced Persons Act, which was to help Europeans displaced after World War II. Then it was the Refugee Relief Act of 1953, followed by the Hong Kong Parole Program of 1962 and the Migration and Refugee Assistance Act of 1962. The Hart-Celler Act of 1965, the probably most seminal point in replacing white Europeans in America, and probably the most well-known. But there are many others, like the Cuban Adjustment Act of 1966. In 1967, the U.S. signs the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Indochinese Immigration and Refugee Act of 1975. In 1977, the Immigration and Naturalization Service created a special office of refugee and parole to address a global refugee crisis and implement refugee policies. The Refugee Act of 1980, signed by President Jimmy Carter, that we mentioned earlier, had significantly severe impacts for the white European population in America. But this wasn't just a Democrat issue. President Ronald Reagan signed the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, which granted amnesty to 3 million illegal migrants. In 1990, you had the Lautenberg Amendment, which established a reduced evidentiary burden for applications for refugee status from certain categories of people, primarily Jews from the Soviet Union. People requesting asylum was at a record high in late 1980s and early 90s, and a new division was created with an asylum corps of immigration officers. And in fact, 7 specialized asylum offices opened up in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Newark, Arlington, Miami, and Houston. In 1997, it was the Nicaraguan Adjustment and Central American Relief Act, followed by the Haitian Refugee Immigrant Fairness Act in 1998. Legal immigration to the U.S. has been at about 1 million new lawful permanent residents annually since the 1990s, peaking between 2016 and 2023 with over 1.1 million annually. All right, so there you go. Got to work on my delivery. I got to make it more exciting. Got to, like, juggle some balls or something while I'm doing, like, you know. Anyway, that's the facts right there for you. So, Hart-Celler Act, sure, repeal it, but, like, and everything else, and change the morality, and exit out of all these UN, and of course, to his credit, I mean, I covered it in the video, Trump did put a stop work order on Hayes, for example, right? Okay. It's like, okay, that's a good start, but fucking dissolve the, make it illegal to replace the white population.
Well,
but
he
it's
did
not
going
to happen because he's controlled
let's,
by...
Let's mention the White House. Under President Trump, replacement migration, I have the link in there, will never be the standard. The U.S. objects to the Global Compact on Migration and U.N. efforts to facilitate replacement migration. I was like, idiot, it's happened, already happened. In America, and Martin took the words out of my mouth, repeal hard seller, restore the Immigration Act, create the Remigration Act,
exactly,
and sanction all the governments who are replacing and censoring their people. It's like he's here talking about, okay, he understands replacing immigration is wrong. And it's happening. It's been happening and still under your watch.
Just lip service. It's lip service and red meat for the shit libs and the anti-whites so that they later can come in and just double down and quadruple.
Scroll down so people can see where it says replacement migration, right there. Well, we're not getting that right now.
No.
What's happening with the deportations?
Nothing. They fired the only guy who was sensible in there, Greg Bovino. They got rid of him after a whiny call to tampon Tim. Remember that whole thing? We should play that, in fact, too.
Oh, so frustrating. So what is this? Who are they appealing to here? What's their end game here? Are they just trying to make it look like they're doing something? It's okay, yeah, white people, calm down. We got it. We're taking care of it.
At this point, it's just word after word after word, and then you get a little bit of theatrics, and then you fire people after, like they did with Bovino, who seemed to be actually serious about this point. We play a clip with him, and where he's talking about that. Like, we had to deport, maybe he's talking about in the West overall, but he's talking about hundreds of millions of migrants everywhere that just needs to be deported.
Anyway, yeah. yeah.
And, no, it's to get ahead of the trend and the curve and saying they're talking about it's happening, and it's like, sure, it's good that it's being discussed, because at least for a moment there, no one talked about it, and now at least people are talking about it. But as long as people just talk about it, what does it matter? Now, in fact, it might even kind of placate people to think that something is happening with
it. I mean, I think it's great things we've been talking about, but it's like, okay, now the White House has to talk about it, but then all the voices who people should be going to are getting censored, and then they're going to the Tucker Carlsons, who are like, oh, yes, it's happening. Oh, but we can't go to white identity is bad, and we can't become white nationalists, and I don't care if you're white. You know, fuck you. Get away from me if you say you're representing white people, as I showed in my last video.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're getting. Like,
who out there that's
being heard on the main platforms is truly one of our guys? Like, it's been scrubbed.
If the pinnacle of evil is Nazism, let's say, or the perception of what Nazis did, which was to stand up for their own people and kind of making race predominantly, but then yet how somehow they also hated every other race or every other ethnic group inside of the white race. But anyway, if that's the pinnacle of it, And if every solution, therefore, that could solve this issue ends up in the area of being compared to evil, racist, Nazi ideas, then it's basically checkmate. You've conceded. Tucker's conceded to the point that you can point out that they're replacing you. You can lament that this is awful for, I don't know, the culture or something, as opposed to the actual genocide of the extinction level of open borders. But you've conceded to the point that you cannot simply do anything about it, because that would be evil, racist, Nazism.
The only thing you can do is a slower, more sophisticated replacement of merit-based.
Yes, yeah, slowly.
Right? That's what he also wants. So he could be trashing Trump, but you're aligned, dude, on the same thing. Bill Biz, by the way, thank you so much, says Lana, excellent videos lately. Too bad people like Tucker just won't take the extra logical leap. Bill Biz. Nope.
Thank you, Bill Biz. Appreciate that.
Kind of
you. No,
I mean, he won't.
He won't, because he's not meant to. He's
I mean,
there.
He's
there to suck up the
Well, who put him there?
The oxygen in the room. Why do you think he exited out of Fox News? I mean, look, I know they had a lawsuit. I reread some of that just the other day, because I was editing together the video, right? Mm. So I came across some of that material again. Fox News paid something like 700 something million to Dominion, the voting system thing, right? Because they made it about that. There was other reasons, whatever. Abe Foxman, Greenblatt, they literally were on the phone to Fox News executives, and Rupert Murdoch was, you got to get him out kind of thing. But I think they also kind of realized at the same time, Morris, the redacted guy, Morris Deese, that's the SBLC guy, but you know what I'm talking about. Morris, what is his name, Chad? The redacted guy. He comes from the Fox News world. He's mainstream, right? Russell Brand, he comes from the Hollywood world. He's a mainstream kind of figure. Tucker Carlson, Fox News, questionable past with his father and CIA ties. And you know, those Roseanne Barr has her show now. Clayton Morris, exactly. Thank you, Bob of Atlantis.
I'll arrive in Hood and sent $10. Are you aware about the Moloch statement of Father Rehill on SRS 141, 157, and 30 seconds and how to join after us again? History nerds, Baron Schwipper's book from 2016 and Jan Shana, We Will Bury You, 1984.
Oh, gosh. Ulrich, I love you, man, but what the hell? Moloch statement about far. Are you getting auto-correct raped here? Yeah. Is that what happened? I'll have to go through your statement with a fine-tooth comb. But no, I've Father Don. Was that what you said? Father Don? No, the Father Rahil. I have no idea what that is. SRS. No, how to join after ice again? After flash? You mean? We'll get to that if that's what you've been asking. Sorry, I appreciate you. just check it before you send it. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Okay.
By the way, we still don't show on Rumble on their live page.
Of course not.
We have never shown.
I asked them several times. And
someone could have two viewers and show up on their live page.
I know. Anyway, so back to the point. Thank you, Ulrich, man. We love you. Thank you. Appreciate your super chat. Enough people from the mainstream media kind of environment have come in and largely swooped up the oxygen in the room in terms of, like, quote-unquote alternative media, right? That's what happened. And I mean, Megyn Kelly, she has kind of a big show, right? And they nominally can cover some good things and true things, and they have to, because otherwise why would you swallow the rat poison if it's all poison and no oats or no cheese, right? Yeah. That's kind of how it works. But I'm saying it's like I'm highly distrustful of all of these people and their motivations and what the reasons are. And I think it's more of like a bribe, like just kind of placate Whitey and talk about these things.
I mean, I don't trust any, and unless they're pushing white nationalism overtly, like, I don't trust it. Don't trust it.
No, of course not.
It's not good enough. It's not enough.
Yep. Did you do the one from Sun Destroyer?
520? I might have missed that.
Let me do that one then. Got a big dono here from Sun Destroyer 520 over on Donobox. Thank you, sir.
Oh, really? I don't see that.
Yeah, from Sun Destroyer 520. One day I'm going to match Albert. Well, thank you. We appreciate you.
I missed that.
He matched us 1/10 of Albert. That's awesome. And then Bill Biz as well.
Yeah, I got that one, but I didn't get the other ones.
1/10 as well, so awesome. Mm. You don't see there's something. There's discrepancy sometimes.
I don't see it.
Seeing that. Okay. All right. Anyway, I got it on this end. So we appreciate you guys.
On one hand, obviously, it's a plus that our ideas are getting out there and they're having to talk about it. But then it's our job to continue to put pressure and just keep pushing it farther in our direction. That's why people are, why are you blackpilling? Why are you criticizing? Why are you attacking Tucker? Because it's not enough. And we need to keep pushing it in our direction. I'm not going to just sit back. Okay, Tucker's talking about it. It's fine now. While he's like, I don't care if you're white. Fuck you. And no, it's not enough.
I mean,
we're not there yet. We're not even close.
Blackpilling would be saying it's over. There's no point in fighting back and doing anything. This is literally like, fine, they're stepped up to these issues, but then it has to be pedal to the metal pressure on those people so that they will advance. And if they don't advance, get out of the way. Stop taking up all the oxygen. I mean, will that happen? No, because we, of course, are not allowed on YouTube. We're, you know, even X and Twitter, you know,
Rumble, even all those places.
It's still like kind of this kind of, sure, you can be there, but it's this kind of like, you know, you notice it. Occasionally, like, there's tweets that can go through and, you know, videos that you can kind of break through. But overall, you're kind of like, this doesn't seem right.
It's not a fair playing field.
I think Albert said it too. It was like, Alex Jones talks about how he's shadow banned all the time. But like, I see his tweets all the time. You guys, I never see them. Yeah. I have to literally go to your page
That's what people tell me all the time.
So anyway, that's what it is.
We're dealing with that on top of it.
So as of right now, we're not going to replace them in the talking points and the pressure, but we have to collectively do it, right? More people like us and everyone who understands these issues and where this needs to go needs to collectively put pressure on these people. And so it's not about like, well, he's doing great things and this and that. It's like, okay, fine, sure. We didn't shit on that. We said, fine. He's talking about like Israeli control. And that's great. But he's not talking about the solutions of what needs to be done to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge problem. And in fact, it's a red flag when you can put all these other pieces together, but somehow you miss that vital thing. And it's not some like, well, he's just kind of slowly trying to piece drip feed
to his audience.
You're independent now, right? Yeah. But they also do know that, like, if he just went full white nationalist, Tucker, it's never going to happen. But I'm saying if he did.
I don't think he's genuinely there anyway.
No, he's not. But I'm saying he would, the potential that he would lose his platforms and stuff. Yeah. He cares too much about that, right?
I think that if one of his kids married a non-white person, that he wouldn't care. He wouldn't care at all.
No, of course not. That's what America is all about right there. All right. Here's Greg Bovino. Let's listen.
And when you bring that many.
Let me preface. The former head of the Border Patrol in heading up the operations that happened in Minneapolis and all these places when the shit libs, anti-whites were shot.
From another culture that don't care about your culture, you've got a problem. And you asked me, do we see that? So we saw that on the ground in every single city we were in. Why someone would come out and fly a foreign flag in the streets to protest or whatever they were doing when immigration officers were there is beyond me. Yep. But what that did do is it let me know that there's something else afoot here, and our culture is definitely in jeopardy by those hundreds of millions of foreigners that, as you say, don't care about your culture. They don't care about your history, your customs, values, beliefs, whatever. They don't care. You know, Edward and Lauren, maybe your grandfather died at Iwo Jima, or your great-great-great-grandfather died at Gettysburg, or I don't know, maybe even an ancestor died at Kings Mountain in the Revolution. Do you think they care about that? Do you think those hundreds of millions of illegal aliens here care that your ancestors gave everything for this country? I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing...
They don't even bother to learn our language.
Well, some of them want a new Gettysburg.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't even care.
Wouldn't even know. And they don't care that your grandfather died at Iwo Jima or Gettysburg or who the founding fathers even are. They don't care. And I think, to me, that is a greater threat to our society and to what we have going in America that we built, that Americans built. Let me say that again. Americans built that. You know, there's an argument creeping in.
Migrants built this country.
Yes, absolutely not. Americans built that. Settlers built that. So we need to keep it that way because there is a large percentage of individuals, again, that don't care. That, to me, is a greater threat than a violent criminal or a terrorist. We know where they're at. We can always get them. They always have that criminal record. Sure, we want to go after them, but we can do that in conjunction with mass deportations.
Let's talk.
All right. Anyway, interesting. Mm-hmm. Greg Bovino was asked about Border Patrol Chief Mike Banks, who resigned. He resigned. Was this today, the dates on this? Or I guess I'm just seeing this yesterday then. Chief Banks and I are both mass deportations
people. Archie DeBunker sent $5. 2 days ago, FTJ Media was kicked off of its cloud server due to complaints before its official shutdown. Its mirror image is Gorham TV. Kosher Rumble will never be fair regarding what is trending.
Yeah, I know, of course. Thank you.
Optics Prime sent $10. You two are looking extra handsome. Happy Freya's Day.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Butter me up more. Anyway, thank you, Optics. Yeah, Archie, yeah, I heard about that. We weren't on FTJ. Was it Dave Gehary? Is that his name? Who's behind it?
I'm not sure.
I think he went on with Nick Nation Review to talk about it. I didn't have time to listen to it yet, but I'll check it out to get the details because I don't know the details yet. But thank you for reminding about that, Archie. So yeah, again, censorship is over. No, it's like it's
still going,
rolling on here. Anyway, Chief Banks and I, going back to Greg Bovino's comment about Border Patrol Chief Mike Banks, Chief Banks and I are both mass deportations people. And we're all no longer employed by the Department of Homeland Security. What does that tell you? There's a lot of swamp creatures still out there. Careful, America, is one of the comments that he made on one of the shows that he went on, right? So Trump is doing his remigration, you know, kind of thing. But then the guys that are actually interested in this shit to actually do it. Exactly. He follows me, Greg Bovino.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy.
Send him a DM. Maybe since he's out now, unfortunately he's out, but he's like... Maybe he should like run on just mass deportation.
Yeah, now calling out their failures and offering real solutions. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, dude. I think we should close out the show playing Jared Taylor's clip about what Thomas Jefferson and Abe Lincoln said.
Lincoln. Ooh. Yeah. No? Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Let's go.
Now, Jefferson has a memorial right on the Mall.
and it has got many of his quotations engraved on that wall. And one of them is this. It says, nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people, blacks, are to be free. That's where it stops in the Lincoln Memorial. That's not where Jefferson stopped. Jefferson continued on. He says, nor is it any less certain that the two races, equally free, cannot live in the same government. When that inscription was put on the wall, that was, in effect, a lie by omission. Thomas Jefferson wanted to free the slaves, that holding them in bondage was an injustice, but he said, when freed, the Negro is to be removed beyond the reach of mixture. This was a very common idea at the time. The idea of freeing blacks and then moving them outside the country was called colonization. Abraham Lincoln, he's known to you, of course, as the great emancipator because he freed the slaves. Abraham Lincoln was a great proponent, like many of the prominent Americans of his time, of colonization. Even during the American Civil War, here we are fighting a terrible, terrible war. But on his mind is the question, okay, once the slaves are free, what do we do with them? He appointed a fellow by the name of James Mitchell as Commissioner of Emigration. And he spent the whole war going around in Central America, South America, and the Caribbean, looking for places where freed blacks could be sent. In 1862, this is while the war is going on, he arranged for the first time for a delegation of American blacks to visit the White House on official business. Blacks had been in the White House before as workmen or servants, but this time they were there to meet the president, Abraham Lincoln. The transcript of that talk is easily available. And what Lincoln said to them is, look at what's happening in this country. White people slitting each other's throats. And it's because you are here. He said, please go back to your communities and ask your fellow blacks to pack your bags and leave.
Pack your bags and leave, exactly. Remind me of this clip. I mean, this is more in context of Jews, but it's true of everyone, right? Kick you out, and instead let the sun shine in. Remember the sun? All right. Okay. We're good stuff. Hey, I saw some very sad news. Turns out here that Abe Foxman have sadly passed away here. All right. Let's do it.
Let the sun shine.
Let's go, everyone. Okay. Oh, come on. Abe Foxman.
Is this because you're a Cancer? Henrik is
of course. We love the crabs.
He's a crab. Crabs he's a Cancer.
Crabs are fun. All right. Very sad news here. Mr. Abe Foxman.
Allie Carrot went sent $20, seconding the compliments on your outfits. The professionalism in dress matches the professionalism of the whole production. Truly the best to do it. And everyone should get a cozy red eyes shirt, too.
Of course they should. Thank you.
And I'll try to swear less.
Oh, do you get complaints on that?
No, just a couple old or a couple friends are like, my kids are around and watching. I was like, I'm sure they've heard this before, Mom.
I know it's give and take. Cause sometimes it's like, yeah, you want to, but then there's times and places for it. It's if you do it all the time, it's just gonna, but occasionally here and there, I think.
Yes, and Clint, thank you for your message. read this one here.
Yeah, exactly. I saw one more here from Clinton. Thank you, guys. I appreciate your support. Awesome support today, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you very, very much. Here's some of the t-shirts. You want to pick that up. That hoodie still, by the way, is still available. We're running a little bit low on the Folk First shirts. Obviously, get yours if you want them now, the black and white Folk First.
Then we can do something new.
Then we can move on to do some other things. But yeah, Clint W. over here on Donor Box. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Appreciate the donors. It's awesome show as always. I thought my ability to be shocked would be pretty dull by now, but it still amazes me how white people don't see the migration as a way to replace white people. They still think it's a way to bring in votes for the Democrats. That's what, yeah, it's just like Tucker in the clip we saw, right? There's probably some truth to that, but it's definitely not the big picture aspect of the influx of migrants. And I'll add in before I continue with your chat. Well, they bring in the migrants so they can continue to get elected so they can continue to fuck over white people. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like a, you know, it's just a...
anti-white loop.
Yeah, exactly. It's a loop. Back to Clint's comment here. You'd think seeing it in Europe and Australia as well would open people's eyes to it. I'm afraid too many people won't realize it's until it's too late. Well, it's never too late for white people, but it's getting late. The hour is late, yes. I usually go get the fluoride stare when I mention the Kalergi plan to people. Won't stop talking about it, though. Keep up the good work. Yeah, and then I saw it was a good piece about from Don Erickson regarding what Kalergi actually said in his book, by the way, which is interesting. Now, of course, I don't think that takes away what he said about Jews being like aristocrats or whatever, but there is a mistranslation in the book regarding some of this stuff. It will turn into a Negroid Eurasian race if this continues, as opposed to like I want it to turn into that.
Hmm.
Anyway, so there's some interesting. He did a good piece on it. We should talk about that one day.
Okay.
Again, doesn't mean I'm a big fan of Kalergi. Also, no matter what I'm saying, it was
okay because I know other people have translated it and it's checks.
Well, so. I mean, one of his critiques was against your guest. What was her name again? What am I forgetting? Lady in Greece.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm forgetting your name. My brain has been mush here towards the end of the segment here now. But anyway, we'll cover that one at one point and. Yeah, get to the truth of it. Why not? I mean, regardless, migration is happening anyway. Replacement has happened no matter who advocated for it or when or at what point. And, you know, he's just one cog in the wheel. So I'm just, you know, just call it a Zangwill mutt then or something. That's the U.S. term, I guess, we would use. Okay, guys, thank you. We appreciate you. Thank you, everyone out there.
Trying to see what the date was on that one. Demetra.
Thank you. That's right.
2022 we did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was critical of her translation there because he read through it and he speaks German fluently. And he said, how did she miss that? And so it would be interesting to have them both on the show or something, I guess, you know, something like that. All right. We're going to wrap up here then, folks, for the first part, if you will, of the show. And as we always do, we continue with After Flash for some afterthoughts. And actually, one thing that I hope we'll have time for, Clint mentioned the fluoride stare, which kind of takes me to the realm of the third eye. Well, there's some science now behind the third eye shit. Did you see any of this? It was your other guest you had on. Oh, my gosh, here we go. Just back-to-back, like just gray sludge not working in the brain.
And then you asked me, and I'm like, Demetra's cool.
No, of course, I'm not saying I don't like her. I'm just saying I don't know who's the correct on the translation. That's all I'm saying regarding that.
No, I got that. Which other guest are you referring to?
I am referring to the show you did about Zeus and paganism and like a lot of the other things.
Gnostic Informant.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
He linked up some stuff about like the pineal gland third eye stuff that they're doing like some actual like work on it and like basically finding it. There's like comparative stuff that animal has in order to pick up different types of thermal, you know, indicators and all kinds of stuff. There's like I forget the actual organ name that some animals have, but they compared it to the human pineal gland essentially. So that's one thing I'm going to talk about in After Flash. Also, two other shocking stories. We're going all old school red ice again, as we usually do in the After Flash segment. The CIA documents apparently are mentioning a temple under the Sphinx in Egypt. These are documents back to the 1950s. Yeah. And there's some rumors now that they knew some shit back then and blah, blah, blah. You did have the interesting thing, too. And this was like back and forth, discounted, not proven, not, you know. Tulsi Gabbard had pulled out some documents because she's the head of the DNI, right? on the JFK assassination and MK Ultra, and the CIA raided her office
to take those
yes. documents away. And then I saw, no, it's not true. That didn't happen. And I just like, okay, so these things, that was a contradictory, but that was kind of an interesting thing, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want the, I mean, we kind of know JFK to be, we know like what, we know who did it and why, but you know, we know that, right? It's like the nuke and Israel and Mossad and all that, but doesn't mean we shouldn't know, but I'm saying, the other one was interesting there too, regarding the MKUltra stuff. And then you have, finally have Uppsala University in Sweden. You have a researcher there talking about theories that our brains are basically helping to build the actual existing reality,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like, yeah. like co-creators, right? Like collective so consciousness. It's tuned,
yes, I hear you, but it just sounds new agey, and I don't like it.
I know,
but,
I know
but
it does.
But you're right. Ultimately,
but until
you're right.
there's another way to explain it.
Yeah, so the wording they used on it, is basically, it doesn't just mean our consciousness, any consciousness, right? Because we talked about the information systems last time. The consciousness in and of itself is a part of a foundation of the building block of how reality is basically made, to a certain extent. A new theory, basically, of nature of reality includes consciousness as the foundation.
Believing
is a building block.
So is it true?
I don't know. We'll talk
there's
about it.
We'll talk about it.
Okay? We'll negotiate. Okay. Anyway, thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Join us for After Flash. RedIceMembers.com. You can head over there. Sign up for a membership. Get in. Only $10 a month. Helps us tremendously. We appreciate all members. Can't do this without you. You can also sign up on Locals and Subscribestar. If you want access, like, immediately and right away, use Locals or Subscribestar for now, because we do have to manually activate your account on RedIceMembers.com. We usually do it very swiftly, but usually within 24 hours. Okay, so thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Join us there. Also want to say thanks to all our kings and queens out there joining us today as executive producers. First out the gates, the king himself, King Albert, Arctic Wolf. Thank you for your support. We have William Fox from America First Books. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you so much. We got Angry White Soccer Mom. Appreciate you as well. Thank you. We got Purple Haze joining us as an executive producer. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. We got Glenn as well. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate your support. We got President Obunga. Thank you for being an executive producer, together with Good Luck Lab. Thank you, sir. We also have Number One Jeeves. We appreciate your support. Also, among our executive producers, we got Hungarian Mom. Thank you. We got Sun Destroyer 520. Good to see you in chat today. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you. We got the Deplorable Extraordinaire. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. We also have Santoso. Thank you, Santoso. Appreciate your support. And we got the Boo Man. Thank you, Boo Man. Good to see you. Keep the shades on. We got Charles Turner Jr. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate you as well. Good to see you in there. We got DJ Snow Snow as one of our executive producers. Thank you. We got Bertrand Compere as well. Last but not least, thank you, guys. We got our producers here today as well. Yuan Son, Leroy Demand, Eyes Open, Single Action Army, Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Trevor, Der Schwabe, Alcyon, good to see you, Aurelian, Perfect Brutes, Greg M., J. Barr, Chris W., Skarzinski, Muskrat, Centurion, Scott James Henderson, Deer in the Headlights, Hadrian, and Ernst Jaeger. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you so much. Get your names in the credits. Get a special shout-out from us here at Red Ice. And a great thanks to all of you. We appreciate you. Help Red Ice grow and expand. Do that with a producer or executive producer tier, either at redicemembers.com or subscribestar.com/redice. All right. Very white, mighty white of you all for joining us in the executive producer tier. We appreciate you guys and the producer tier, obviously. So we'll take a short break. 10 minutes. Embedded players up on redicemembers.com, up on Locals, up on Subscribestar. Join us there if you're joining us on redicemembers.com. Join us in chat, of course, because you always keep an eye on that too. Read some of your messages. Folk first, everybody. We'll be back in about 10 minutes or so over at the member section. See you then. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon. Folk first. Bye-bye. Now, do make sure that you follow us on our Rumble channel for more Red Ice TV on rumble.com or on X at Red Ice TV. You can, of course, go to redice.tv as well. Tune in to our live streams and shows, Flashback Friday, live on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, No-Go Zone Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. We also do interviews, videos, clips, and Western Warrior is available Tuesdays, exclusive for our supporters and subscribers at redicemembers.com or on our Locals, redicetv.locals.com or subscribestar.com/redice. Get a membership, check out everything that we do, and support the show.